This is a time for us to strike while the iron's hot. I mean, we've got unprecedented attendance numbers. We've got unprecedented viewership. This is a time for us to get behind all that so we can continue this great trend that we've had the last 2 years for many years to come. The state's benefiting from this. Our community's benefiting from this. We need businesses to get behind us and support us. And there's real opportunities there for businesses. And they can use our brand. They can use our success. They can now use our student athletes to endorse their products or their companies, which I think has can have a major impact on growing their business as well. There's nobody like Coach Prime that understands social media like he does, and how you can monetize your brand. And you have student athletes that are seeing that are saying, you know what, I want to be a part of that.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. I'm Dave Tabor, and I am super excited about this episode. I'm sitting in the University of Colorado Boulder's $156 million Champion Center with Rick George, athletic director. And hey, as most listeners know, Rick was at the center of the process to bring Coach Deion Sanders to Colorado and all the subsequent of what we're now calling Prime Effect. This is a business podcast, so we're not going to talk a lot about CU football, their amazing resurgence, although I really would like to, and I'm sure we'll get there, Rick. I'm sure we will. That would be fun. We're going to talk, though, about the business of what's going on here. Things like revenue, NIL, brand development, and all that. So, Rick, glad you're with me on ProCo 360.
It's great to be here. I appreciate the time.
It's going to be so fun. I want to start with, you know, with a huge big picture thing, which is like, how would you summarize what's going on in college sports?
Look, college sports today is subject to a lot of change. This health settlement that everybody's heard about, as it relates to a lawsuit that's been filed, and we're in process of going through that. But that's going to change the landscape of college athletics significantly. And, you know, going to a revenue share based model starting in July 1 of 25, if this is approved, this settlement really changes things. You got to be thoughtful about, you know, how you restructure, you know, your operations to, because, you know, when you start revenue sharing, that's a line item that you didn't have in your budget that now you have in your budget. So you got to figure out, how am I going to do this from a revenue perspective, and how am I going to do this from an expenditure?
Yeah, you're sharing, but you're sharing a much bigger number, aren't you?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, 22% of the average Power 4 revenue is what the settlement says, which equates to about $20 million. And so, yes, that's a lot. And we're working through it and trying to figure out what's best for CU and how it moves us forward.
Yeah, could you, I mean, think about all the change and everything since you've taken over. I mean, could you anticipate, like, when you took the job, when you came, did you anticipate any of this?
You know, look, I didn't, but, you know, you gotta understand that when I got here in 2013, 2 weeks after I got here, we had a 100-year flood. And that started my career here. We had to postpone and cancel our first game against Fresno State that year because it was right around the time that we had that flood. And then, you know, you fast forward to COVID and the impact that that had on businesses around this state and around the country, and that included ours. And when you're shut down and you don't have games to play where there's revenue from ticket sales and media rights and all of that, it put a big strain on the athletic department. And then now we're in this phase where, you know, everybody's trying to figure out this health settlement and the impact that it'll have on our industry and our athletic department.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about things like the flood and COVID. That seems like so far in the rearview mirror because of all the excitement that's ginned up here at CU now. I mean, when you think about that versus managing the massive upside that you're facing now, like, which is harder?
Well, look, I mean, I think this is probably harder. I think COVID was a really a big test for, you know, how you can look at things. And I kept all my notes from day one until it was finished. So there is a book in the making. But, you know, this is a significant change in college athletics. It's by far the biggest change that I've seen in my 40 years in the industry.
Yeah. So when you think about, Rick, what you've had to deal with over the last, you know, few years as college football and college athletics really has changed, like, What are you dealing with that most people would never really, you know, think is a challenge that you're facing?
Well, look, I mean, there's a lot of things, because a lot of this impacts our business, you know, from a revenue generation standpoint, from an expenditure standpoint. And I know every business leader in this state has gone through those same things. Unfortunately, we've had to do it twice in the last 5 years with COVID and now with the House settlement. And I think our experience that we learned from the COVID has really been helpful for us as we move forward on how do we restructure, how do we reorganize, how do we eliminate some expense, what are the needs versus the wants, and how do we generate significantly more revenue to be able to afford the things that we need to do to be able to compete at the highest level.
So what am I missing here? Because it seems like I and everybody I know thinks that you are awash in cash now because of the resurgence of the football program. Like, but you're saying we got all these financial challenges. What am I missing?
Well, you're missing the fact that we budgeted for this. You know, we budgeted for the success that we were going to have, and everything requires a little bit more. And, you know, while it's great, the viewership numbers that we've received are unprecedented. The impact that we've had on this state over the last 3 years is over $1 billion in direct impact. In the Boulder community, last year, we generated more than $10 million from the previous year. And, you know, if you look at all of those factors, and then you look at the fact that we've had the direct economic impact in this community of $31 million, that's significant.
Wow.
And while that's great, we don't get that revenue.
Yeah.
And where we can monetize it is by selling licensed gear, by creating sponsorships. And certainly the value of that sponsorship goes up when you have more viewership and more eyeballs on your product, when you have a full stadium. But we budget for the tickets and all those kind of things. That kind of fits where we're going. And it's not just one sport.
Yeah.
We have 17. And there's a lot that goes into all that.
Well, and, you know, we do know as fans, we can see what's going on with the big programs, but you're also overseeing, you said 17 total sports, right? I mean, do they benefit? Do they not benefit from this general, like, is there a general rising tide?
I think so. I think there is a rising tide. And I think with the success of football, look, if football's not successful at a Power 5 level, your athletic department's not successful. Football generates about 80% of our revenue. Mm. When you look at the donations that are tied to tickets and donations that are tied to support different initiatives that we have, football's the driver of all this. So it's important for us that football is, and our coaches know that. All of our coaches in our other sports knows that we need football to thrive. We need men's and women's basketball. Those are two other revenue-generating sports that generate revenue. So those three sports really need to be successful so we can monetize those. We can monetize our sponsorships. And look, you know, the state's benefiting from this. Our community's benefiting from this. We need businesses to get behind us and support us. And there's real opportunities there for businesses. And they can use our brand. They can use our success. They can now use our student athletes to endorse their products or their companies, which I think has can have a major impact on growing their business as well.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I want to talk to you more about business interaction. And just after one more comment, which is that, you know, some people are saying, oh, you know, college sports has turned into, you know, just a business, and, you know, they're lamenting the good old days of amateurism and so forth. But I think most people down, you know, deep down believe that athletes deserve, you know, in some way, some of these changes. But I didn't realize just like all that's going on in all these communities, football communities, the ability to attract talent for the team, regardless of how they, you know, they have to pay them essentially now and recruit them with NIL deals. But that has a benefit that's profound to the university, to the community, everybody.
Yeah, it is. And look, it's great for businesses around the state. I mean, people that support us and are partners with us can, you know, when they're on every major network, which we were this year, we're the only school in the country that was on all major networks, ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS, ESPN, all of our games were on those four networks or five networks. And that's valuable to the local businesses. And you just think of tourism as an example. We give a backdrop that's, there's no greater backdrop in the United States than in Boulder when you watch a game at CU.
I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing the Flatirons right now. It's awesome.
Right. Yeah. And you see that. And what can be better for tourism, especially when, you know, we're the third highest viewed program in the country today. And over 40 million viewers, which is significant. And if you think back to 2 years ago when we were 1-10, and where we are today at 9-3, the impact that it can have, particularly on our local economy, because we're filling hotel rooms. 20% of the people that come to our games are from out of state.
Hmm.
And that's significant because they're staying in hotels, they're going to our restaurants, they're going to our airport, they're on the the public transit system,
yeah.
And renting cars and all those kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's valuable to this state.
It's massive.
And it's valuable to the university as well.
So that brings up this question. You know, we all, I don't know about all of us, but I have some sort of nostalgia around, you know, it's not winning or losing. It's how you play the game. It's
well, that went out a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's because, all about winning.
Well, I mean, talk just a bit like the impact of a winning program, like all the wonderful things you're talking about, all of the financial injection and infusion to the city and the state. None of that happens without winning, does it?
No, it doesn't. And if you look at the student support that we're getting, and then you look at the applications that went up significantly at the university, I'm not suggesting that that was totally Coach Prime, but there was a huge impact on that.
I
and
saw
when
the
you
stats.
Look at 50% of growth in Black students that applied to the university, that's significant, and in particularly in a community like Boulder and at a school like Boulder, that's significant. You know, two of the biggest states that visit our games are Virginia and Florida.
Hmm.
So they're flying in because they want to be involved in this. And then you think about students that are looking at our product on TV, and they're looking at this incredible backdrop that you just mentioned. That's a great selling point for this university. It brings a lot of attention to what we're doing as an institution, and that's really valuable to increase the student body, the GPAs and the academics that they have to get in here, out-of-state applications. All of that is valuable to the university, to the department, and to the community and state.
I want to ask you a question about that. First, I want to take a quick break. You're listening to ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast the last 4 years. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. This is the podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Rick George, Athletic Director of University of Colorado in Boulder. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Kinsley Meetings, and they've been our longest running sponsor, ProCo 360. They're growing based on a great reputation of serving clients and meetings all over the world. Also, Via Technologies, thanks for hosting ProCo 360 and all the great help your team gives me around managing the website. Colorado Biz Magazine is our partner. We're building our audiences together. And finally, Denver Angels. And we've been partnering to feature great Colorado companies. Go to ProCo360.com and check out these partners. And I got to ask you, Rick, a question that I've always wondered. You know, University of Colorado is recognized for great science programs, great all kinds of academic programs. And yet, most of the attention now is coming from football. Like, are the educational programs that take such pride in what they do, are they jealous?
No, I don't think they're jealous. I think, you know, we do a lot of collaborative work with our faculty on campus and with our different colleges on our campus. And having the exposure that we have really allows them to look into those kind of programs. You know, we've got an incredible aerospace engineering and program, and we're a great research institution. And I think people are learning all of that because now when you have 40 viewers and we have
40 million
viewers that are watching our broadcast, and we have all these people coming in from out of state that see the beauty of what we get to see every day and experience the great academics that we have on our campus, it's only going to lift all of those boats. So I think there's been more collaboration with faculty. And Coach Prime has been a great example of that. You know, he taught over at the College of Mass Communication last spring just on brand building.
I'm guessing he could.
Yes, he could. And he's collaborated a lot with different groups on campus. So all of that is important to us. And we've been very collaborative, and I think it enhances all of us. And I just, you know, everybody always says that athletics is the front porch of a university. And it's never been more right than it is today.
Wow, that makes sense. Now, let's go back to some of the comments you made earlier about how businesses can plug in to the success of the program at CU. Talk about that. Talk about some of the, maybe a couple of good examples of how companies have sort of partnered with you to help them succeed, help you succeed.
Well, look, I mean, you know, like Elevations Credit now is doing an affinity credit card that benefits our student athletes and benefits, you know, the NIL piece of that. That's an important relationship. And we've had a longstanding relationship with Elevations. Law's Whiskey and it's a local whiskey in Denver. Very good, by the way. You know, they're now supporting part of their proceeds go to our Ralphie program, which is we fund, you know, within athletics, and it supports our NIL initiative. So there's a lot of example. The Nerd Wallet Touchdown Club. You look at the Blenders sunglasses that are now having sales that are off the charts for them because of their relationship with the athletic department, in particular with Coach Prime. There's so many examples of local businesses, Silter Hard Ford. I mean, you name it, they're around, yeah. And we do get a lot of great support in that regards. Where we need more support is from the hotels and from the businesses that are benefiting from the success and all these people coming to our community.
So what does that look like if you were to encourage them to help more? What does that look like?
Well, look, I think every business has a philanthropic arm, and we're a 501c3, so people can contribute that way. But they can also hire student athletes to represent their company. That benefits us. They can become corporate partners of ours, like the ones that we just mentioned. So, I mean, there's a myriad of ways that they can get involved and support what we're doing. And, you know, we created this campaign. It's called Buffs United for Future Success. And it's all about getting everybody under the tent and saying, okay, we've got this time, this period of time that we need everybody to come together to support what we're doing, because we're seeing the positive incomes, outcomes that are coming with the success of our athletic department.
When you say period of time, what's that mean?
Period of time means that this is a time for us to strike while the iron's hot. I mean, we've got unprecedented attendance numbers. We've got unprecedented viewership. This is a time for us to get behind all that so we can continue this great trend that we've had the last 2 years for many years to come. And this is our moment. And look, when I was here back in the 80s, I mean, Coach McCartney, he started us, and look how long that lasted. You know, he got here in 82, but we started having success in 86, 87. We won the national championship in 91, and our program in football was very successful for the next 15, 20 years. And I think there's a similar aspect to where we are today and where we went then to where we think we can go now.
I look back, and I guess I didn't contemplate that long of a stretch of momentum at CU.
Yeah, look, and you look at Alabama and look at the success that they had. Why was that? Nick Saban. Well, the success that we had in the 80s was Bill McCartney. And now today you've got somebody like Coach Prime that's got an iconic brand, celebrity status, that has really brought a lot of energy to our community and to our state. And I think it benefits a variety of different businesses and individuals and certainly this university.
As businesses want to get engaged now, they want to strike when the iron's hot, right? Who can blame them? How do you nurture a relationship so that as the pendulum swings or, you know, as momentum shifts perhaps, you know, that they still engage?
Well, look, I think we saw that over the last 10 years, you know, my first 10 years here, we didn't have a lot of success in football. And, you know, we had a couple years where we were successful, two probably out of the last 11 years, now three with this year's success. And we've had people that have stayed with us during that time, and they're valued partners of ours that see the value of investing in a program like ours. And now investing in a program like ours is going to bring you and bring them, I think, more exposure, more business, and more opportunities that they can generate from supporting what we're doing.
Yeah. Do your long-term partners feel the love when they're, you know, they stick with you through, you know, the tougher times and then, you know, do they feel the love over that?
Yeah, I think so. And look, we've got some longtime season ticket holders, some that have been here 30 and 40 years, and some of them that wanted to give up on us, and some did. But those that stayed, I think, are grateful that they did, because it's now hard to get a ticket.
Yeah.
But we want to honor that as well, because they've been with us through thick and thin.
You know, kudos to you, because I am a season ticket holder, and I have been since my kids were in school here, I don't know, 10, 12 years, whatever that is. And a year ago, you said, hey, if you want more tickets, you can buy them. And so we went from 2 tickets to 6 tickets, and we're now able to take friends. My son, who graduated from here, lives here. That was really, I thought, a generous move by CU.
Yeah. And look, I mean, if you're a company, you can buy a suite, you can, you know, buy seats that you can bring your customers to, and all of that has value. And, you know, look, we're excited where we are, but we're not even close to being finished on where we're going to go.
Well, let's talk about NIL, because one of the curiosities I have is, you know, the players are all benefiting from name, image, and likeness contracts, which is great for them. You don't get any of that money, do you?
No.
And yet part of your job is helping them get it. And I suppose that helps them want to be, but talk about how that all works.
Yeah, I mean, look, it all works that way, you know, because if you can come to an institution, and I think there's nobody like Coach Prime that understands social media like he does and how you can monetize your brand. And you have student athletes that are seeing that are saying, you know what, I want to be a part of that because I want the value of my name, image, and likeness to go up so I can get companies like, you know, a great example, Travis Hunter, who's going to be a Heisman candidate. He partnered, I mean, he is a Heisman candidate, and I think he, you know.
We hope he wins.
Hopefully he wins that, but he creates a partnership with NerdWallet. I guarantee you right now, if you talk to NerdWallet, they're going to be really excited that they had that partnership with him, because the exposure that he's getting now as a Heisman finalist is significant. So I think there's a lot of success stories that we could talk about.
So is part of the business of running a successful athletic department helping to nurture NIL relationships for your players?
Yeah, sounds, I mean, like that's it. A significant part of it, yes. And with this Newhouse settlement, while there's a revenue share piece, there's also a true NIL piece. And I say a true NIL piece, which is a partnership between a legitimate company that are paying a student athlete for their name, image, and likeness to support their brand and their company. And we think there's a lot of value in that for them. And particularly those companies that want to engage with students, college students, because, you know, they follow Travis Hunter. They follow a Shedeur Sanders. They follow a number of our players on social media because, you know, students today, everybody's on that phone. Everybody's on Instagram. Everybody's on, Twitter and all these other things, X or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Now, a while back, I had a guest on the ProCo 360 podcast, Chase Garrett, who's the CEO of a company called Icon Source. And that's a cool company because it's not just the top tier players that are getting NIL. It's, you know, all kinds of sports, all kinds of things that companies can mix and match and build. Are you seeing sort of less recognizable sports figures at CU getting NIL contracts?
Yeah. Yes, we are, in all sports.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting. I mean, we've got a lot of our Olympic sports, our female sports, that are learning a lot about how to engage with businesses by creating partnerships that they have. And it's been fun to watch because, look, I've been a big proponent of NIL. I think it's important that student athletes can share in their name, image, and likeness just like any other student on campus.
I would think that if they sense that you, Coach Prime, others are advocates for them to be successful through NIL, that goes a long way.
Yeah, it does. I mean, look, we are advocates, and it's important for us that, you know, Coach has always said he wants to make sure that a student athlete that comes here has the resources to be able to enjoy the many benefits that we have in this state, in this community.
All right. You've mentioned brand building a few times, especially in context of Coach Prime, but I want to talk about it in context of the university, because it seems like it would be very difficult to almost build a university brand that is sustained beyond the football brand or the athletic brand. Is that even important to you to see you? Like, especially if, I mean, one day Coach Prime won't be here.
That's correct.
And so how does that, are you trying to build a brand that's like sustainable regardless of who's in that seat?
Well, look, we've always had one of the most iconic brands in intercollegiate athletics, always. Since the early 80s, and that hasn't gone away. Did it diminish a little bit? During the time period where we weren't successful? Absolutely. But the value of our brand today is significant. It's in stores all over the country, and you know, we're going to benefit from that.
Yeah.
And look, it all matters, because as we move forward to the next 5 to 7 years, there will be something else that happens in college athletics. There could be another realignment. And how do we position ourselves? It's going to be based on viewership. It's going to be based on brand value. And those are things that we're doing really well with today.
Do you ever just say, stop, I want to get off?
Well, don't ask that question. No, you know, look, I love what we're doing. I love Boulder. CU is a passion of mine. It has been since I was here in the 80s and early 90s. And now being back here for the last 11 years, it's a passion of mine, and it will continue to be.
Yeah, sticking with that topic on brand, you know, you think about all kinds of, you know, whatever the sports product companies where they're building their brand. You know, you think of the logo. I mean, to you, what is a brand to you when you want to build, say, the Colorado brand?
Well, the Colorado brand for us, I mean, it's about, I mean, if you look at the university, and we've got a lot of similarities on what we're doing, it's about excellence. It's about excellence in all we're doing. It's about developing future leaders. It's about being innovative. And you think about innovation, and you think about Coach Prime and the way that he's utilized social media in recruiting to grow his brand and his student athletes' brands. I mean, all of that stuff is important. And, you know, look, I think we're on the front edge of that.
Predictions. Do you have any predictions for the next 5 years of what college sports is going to look like, or what your job is going to look like?
I would have never predicted of where we are today. So I'm not going to predict where the future goes, but certainly this house settlement case, when it is finalized and it begins the new era in July of 25, I think you'll see some changes in college athletics. But again, it's about your brand. It's about your viewership. It's about the affinity that people have for what you're doing. And I think we're going to be well positioned for the future.
When you talk about brand and viewership, like, are those metrics you report to, like, who looks at those metrics and who says?
Everybody. Everybody looks at the metrics. You know, I know, you know, when you go through the process, if you're another college and you're another conference and you're looking for who do I want to bring on, if we have this next stage of, they're going to look at your brand, they're going to look at your viewerships. All those things are important. And we want to make sure that we're well positioned for the future.
All right. I'm going to ask you the last question again. Some prediction. What's going to be different in 5 years that you say, see, I told you?
Well, see, I told you. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, because it's a challenging question, because this starts a new era in college athletics. I think, you know, maybe in the future what you'll see, and the thing that I said I will tell you so, is there may be some new realignment that creates divisions, you know, kind of like the AFC and the NFC West in the NFL. Some of that could happen, but who knows? I mean, I think it's unpredictable, but our focus is on the now, and how do we maximize what we're doing now to put us in a position when July 1 of 2025 comes, we're in the best position we can be in.
Is that, I mean, I thought that was my last question, but.
Yeah, I did too.
I know, but it's kind of like, can you be a strategic thinker when, you know, things are changing every year? The rules change, it seems, and players change every year, and NIL contracts change every, like, can you be strategic and how you
look? My whole background's about strategic thinking, and I love strategic leadership, and we've always had a strategic plan. And what's great about strategic plans is they're dynamic. You got to look at the market conditions. You got to adjust when you need to adjust. And I think we're well positioned for that, because we've done it before. We'll do it again, and I think those experiences are going to really help us in the future.
It seems impossible to have a plan. You do. You have a strategic plan.
We do, and we report on it quarterly with our entire staff, we have metrics, and those are important. But again, to have a good strategic plan, you have to be nimble. You have to be able to meet the market conditions, and our conditions are changing, and we'll be well positioned for it.
Cool. All right. I'm going to let you go.
Great.
Rick, yes, I'm your host, Dave Tabor. Today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with Rick George, Athletic Director of University of Colorado Boulder. And thanks, Rick. It was really fun.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, Dave.
Good. Listeners, glad you're here on ProCode 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCode 360 podcast. If you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you submit a review in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors Via Technologies, Kinsley Meetings, Denver Angels, and Colorado Biz Magazine. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado. Checking out from CU Folsom Field. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.